The theme of this morning's service is Follow the Star. When Archbishop Justin became the Archbishop of Canterbury, he asked that there be some reflections written originally for Advent, it was called God With Us, and more recently, the last couple of years, for the 12 days of Christmas, between Christmas Day and Epiphany, which I'll talk a bit about later. And there's these little books, some of you may have seen or have them. If you haven't got a little book, you can also download the whole of this book onto your phone or your tablet or any device. So if any younger people here want to do that now, you can. Just go to any of the app stores and look for Follow the Star, the 12 Days of Christmas, and you can follow a bit that I'm talking about. And there's a set reflection for each day. And I was delighted when I looked at what was today, day 5, the 29th of December. And when I opened it, there was a picture of a robin. Because as you might have picked up from earlier, I'm a bit of a bird watcher. And I thought, oh, brilliant, I can just do a whole service of showing you a collection of my favourite birds from my collection of about 1,200 pictures. I thought, plenty of time. But you'll be pleased to know I did that for the 8 o'clock service, not for this one. So no bird pictures in this. So we've just sung the chorus to that song, haven't we? Oh, Star of Wonder, Star of Night. And the reflections have taken a bit of a journey. So the first day's reflection was Star, that was Christmas Day. Then Boxing Day was Wonder. Then it was Night. Then it was Royal yesterday. Today is Beauty, which is what I want us to look at. Tomorrow is Bright. Then we go Leading, Proceeding, Guide, Light. And then there's Gifts as well, which falls off the end. So today we are looking at beauty and thinking about how God reveals himself through the beauty of the star and through the beauty of creation. But how do we define beauty? What is beauty? That lovely phrase in there, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, I think we think of beauty in a number of ways. One of the main ways I think we think about beauty, I think sadly a little bit, is physical appearance. So what is a beautiful physical appearance? Well, I don't know if any of you ever heard of the golden ratio of beauty, which is where measurements are taken across all of your face and you're given a percentage score out of 100 of how beautiful you are. Now, this was done, this was updated in September of this year, and this person is officially the most beautiful person in the world. Does anybody know who it is? Ooh, it's a bit of a test of this one. No? This is a model called Bella Hadid. Okay, and Bella scored 94.35%. You might not be able to see very clearly on the screen, but there's lots of different measurements and percentages which came up with this total score. Now, those of you who know me know I'm not that competitive, but I did think, well, just wonder. Do just wonder. So we did a few measurements. So apparently they measure the ratio of the height of your face to the width of your face. Oh, not advancing. Oh, it's because I've done something to my machine. Let me just stop that. Okay. To the width. And apparently, to get a really high score, you have to be 1.5 times more this way than that way. And when I measured the lines on my thing, I was exactly the same. So that's not a great start. Then they measured the size of your forehead. I think I've been blessed with quite a good forehead. I don't think that's good either. Then the position of your eye in comparison to the rest of your face. And then the ratio of the width of your nose to the width of your mouth, the area of your face that your eyebrow takes, and the area of your face that is your chin. Okay? So, let's see. This could take a while. Oh, that's not very nice. I'll give myself 98%. That's fine. So, physical beauty. We define a lot of things, don't we, through physical beauty. It was one of the things that I really struggled with as a younger person, feeling that I had to live up to some social norm. One of the things I want to really clearly say is that is not one of the ways in which God judges us. God looks way beyond our physical appearance, however the world might judge that, and looks very much at our heart and our soul. He looks at the beauty within, the way in which we live our lives, and the perfect creation that he sees in us, having made us. Music, how do you define what a beautiful piece of music is? I'm looking at Emma, she's going to tell me whether I've got this theory right or wrong in a minute. There are a number of elements to music. Rhythm, melody, harmony, form, texture, timbre, have I pronounced that right? Yes? Timbre, sorry, there you go. I knew the musical expert would tell me. And it's really difficult. If you Google what is the most beautiful piece of music, you will get loads and loads of different views and interpretations, depending on what your particular genre or style you like is. But 16,000 people did vote on this on a chat board called Reddit earlier in the year, and they came up with this piece of music. Sound up. Sound up, Keith. People recognise it? You can turn it right up, Keith, it's a bit quiet. People recognise that piece of music? I recognised it as soon as I heard it. It's the kind of thing you see in a film and you think, I wonder what that piece of music is. Now, I bet if I look at my children, you wouldn't call that a particularly beautiful piece of music, would you? No. But for some of us, we would find that a beautiful piece of music. That balance of rhythm, melody, harmony, form, texture, and timbre. And then the other thing we sort of think about when we think about beauty, isn't it, is about sort of place. We think about the places that we go and the things that we see, and we kind of engage with those places in different ways. One of the things that Sarah and I both love is a really dark sky and starry night. There's lots of beautiful places in the world that we've visited, but there's something quite special about the night. We were recently in London and were walking along the Thames Path, where they had lots of like a Christmas market and a Christmas fair. And the person who took this particular photo was actually there selling his photo and was explaining that that is a combination of about 1,500 still pictures taken in the same place as the Earth revolves. So you get the tracking of the stars around the galaxy, which we thought was fascinating. So I was quite intrigued by this. One of those things we regret, we didn't buy it. One of the things we regretted when we got home, thought, that would be lovely, should have got that. But the person who took it, Ben Bush, actually this year was awarded the Royal Observatory's 2019 Astronomy Photographer of the Year. And this is the picture that won the award. And this is quite an amazing picture, because what he did was he set up his camera at the bottom of a hill near Hadrian's Wall, and he set a massive timer. Now, I've got quite a good camera. I don't think I can set mine for any more than a minute, so he's either got an even better camera or he can run very, very fast. And he set the camera up, and he left it with the shutter open for a long time. So those of you that know about photography, it took an awful long time to take the picture from the point that you go press the button to the point it goes snap. And he went up to the top, and he said the most difficult thing was keeping his dog still, because if the dog had moved, then the whole picture would have gone out of focus. So he stood there, and then he obviously came back down, took the picture home, looked on his computer, and didn't realise that he'd captured something quite incredible that hadn't been captured much on a traditional camera in the UK before. And that there is Mars, okay? So Mars is in the picture. That there is Saturn, okay? And all of this bit here, now I called this deep space this morning in the 8 o'clock, which is actually not correctly true. It's actually the galactic core, hence our God is a galactic God. It's the galactic core, but it is bits of space that are not often seen and are very, very difficult to capture on camera. And he got it all in one shot, so I think he was a worthy winner of the award. And that picture makes me, and I love that picture, there's something about that picture that kind of captivates me and draws me in. Reminds me so much of the wise men following the star. We read in the psalm this, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. The firmament, by the way, is the dome. That is the galactic core that the picture just showed. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all of the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Nobody came along and tapped the Magi on the shoulder and said, look at that star, you need to follow that one. There was no voice in that sense. And they would have been astronomers. So they would have known the night sky, and they would have looked at it a long time in the past, and they would have continued to study the sky a long time after this star. But there was something about that particular star that drew them in. A beauty. Archbishop Justin, in his reflection that is in the Follow the Star book today, says this: whatever beauty is, it is captivating, and the wise men could not resist the natural beauty that they saw in the night sky. They are drawn to the star, the work of God's hand, and they have to follow, they have to find out more. I wonder how we engage with that story today? Are we captivated by God? Do we see God in the amazing world that he's created around us? Are we drawn in, and are we called to follow him because of what we see? The wise men followed that star, and when they got there, this happens. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And I think when we commit ourselves to engaging with that beautiful God, to following him where he calls us to go, I think when we meet him in that place, we also are overwhelmed and full of joy. So in a week's time, there could be someone standing here asking you whether you've taken your decorations down tonight or not, or you're going to plan to, because Epiphany is the time when we think about whether, depending on which culture you are, depending on it, whether you're, if you're German, you keep them up a bit longer. But in this country, traditionally, we take down our decorations on the 12th night. But Epiphany means something actually quite different. Epiphany comes from the Greek word, which means, directly translated, is manifestation, but means revelation. It means the time that God revealed himself to the world in human form through his son, Jesus. And this morning, whether you've known Jesus in your life for a long time, or whether you're sitting there thinking, I haven't really got a clue who he is, I know that God wants to reveal himself again to you today through Jesus. That may be, as I said, for the first time. That may be revealing something new and exciting and joyous about himself again that you hadn't discovered before. So my prayer for all of us today is that we would be like the wise men. We would know when we're called. We would recognize, whether it be a star or something beautiful that we see in nature, or a conversation that we have, or a person that we meet, that we would know very clearly when God is revealing himself beautifully to us, and that we would have the courage, that we'd be bold and be strong, and that we would follow that star to where we're called to be, so that we can meet Jesus afresh in a new way. One of the ways in which you can do that in this church is by going on an Alpha course. And Alpha is a great way to continue that journey from Christmas into the new year, and to think about more about who Jesus is and the difference that he can make to our lives. And we begin our next Alpha course with pizza and Prosecco on January the 29th. So if you'd like to know more about that, please speak to anybody you've seen at the front, or to Gail and to Nigel. So just that reminder again, is it time for you today to have an epiphany for the first time, or to see something new about Jesus for a further time in your life? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the wonder of your creation. We thank you that you created us and that we are perfect in your image. That however the world judges us or sees us, that you just see us with love, and that you just call us to come and to be with you. I pray that wherever we are on our journey today, that you would give us that boldness, that strength to follow you to where we're called to be, and that when we're in that place, that you would meet us, that you would reveal yourself to us afresh again, and that we would know and be overwhelmed by the joy of having a relationship with you. Amen.